like an enormous iris. Another space opened up among the hexes directly above. Ula waited, but nothing emerged from the hatch.
"This doesn't make any sense," he said.
"There's Driver again," Jet said, pointing at a solitary blip circling the new arrival.
"I guess he's chasing those subspace foci," Ula said. "That one must be a biggie."
"Like the Skyhooks," Jet pointed at the south of the planet. "Which is moving, by the way."
He was right. The Skyhook had drifted away from the pole and was accelerating ponderously northward. Ula thought fast. If the Skyhook kept accelerating at that rate and stayed on that heading...
"They're two halves of one thing," he cried. "The Skyhook was at the pole because that's where the Master Factory built it. Now it's coming to pick up the CI and take it off-world. I bet the drives are being built on the moon as we speak. They're getting ready to break free. We have to stop them."
"I think you're right," said Jet. "And I agree that this is serious. Try Kalish and Pipolidi one more time. Maybe they'll change their minds."
Ula knew it was pointless. The fleet was breaking up. Shots were being fired by fighters passing perilously close to the opposite side's capital vessels. It was clear that lines were being drawn and beads taken. All it would take was one mistake for open warfare to erupt.
"If there was only some way to make them do what's needed," he said.
"I knew you had the makings of the Emperor."
"How can you joke at a time like this?"
"Who's joking?" Jet turned in his seat and said to Clunker, "Time for Plan B."
The droid inclined its battered head. A series of new screens flickered in and out of the main holoprojector as the droid sent a series of commands through the Auriga Fire's main computers.
"Don't tell me," said Ula. "You cracked the hex code, but have been sitting on it, waiting for the rest of us to figure it out for ourselves."
"Believe me, I wouldn't have waited. Also, there's nothing to be gained in doing that. Once the code is cracked, the hexes are dead, and I'm out of pocket."
"So what are you going to do?"
"Something noble, and probably quite stupid. In return, I need you to do something for me."
"Just ask."
"I need you to pretend it never happened."
Ula stared at him.
"Watch the screens," Jet said.
The combined fleet was breaking up, but not down faction lines. The Paramount was leading one mixed contingent down to a lower orbit, there to target the CI with greater precision. The Commoner was heading for the moon with a smaller retinue and two squadrons of fighters. All internecine squabbling had abruptly ceased. Comms weren't down, but they were suspiciously quiet. No one was giving orders to coordinate the fleet's movements. It was just happening.
"You're doing this?"
Ula said, appalled.
"Clunker is. He's got a very good head on his shoulders."
"You used me to infiltrate the Imperial and Republic networks. You cracked their codes. Now you've taken over."
"The end justifies the means, right?"
"That's what Striver said. I'm not sure I agree."
"Being alive is always better than being dead. That's my golden rule."
"But what comes afterward?"
"The fleets change their codes. Business goes back to usual."
"If you let them go..."
"Why wouldn't I? I'm not power mad like you. There might be money to be had in Empire building, but never at the top. You only end up on the wrong end of a coup or an invasion or a sniper's rifle. Your Emperor will learn that eventually the hard way."
Ula was trapped. He had betrayed the Republic after all, but he had betrayed the Empire along